The final concert on this summer's Carte Blanche series, Found in Translation, is a three-part solo piano recital by Alessio Bax. Alessio is making his Music at Menlo debut this summer and has put together a fascinating program that reflects his personal artistic interests and also complements the theme of our festival season, Maps and Legends. Over the course of our main concert series this summer, we'll hear music of particular times and places. Our programs include, for example, La Ville Lumière, a program of music written in Paris in the 1920s, and Spanish Inspirations, which explores the composers of Spain and their influence on their French counterparts. So Alessio Bax's program begins with a project that he's especially passionate about, a set of piano transcriptions of music by Johann Sebastian Bach. Part two of Alessio's recital adds a stop on the summer's musical itinerary by spotlighting Italy. Finally, the third part of the recital expands on our Spanish Inspirations program by highlighting further the cross-cultural influence between the composers of Spain and France. Earlier this season, I had a chance to speak with Alessio about his recital program.
It's such an ambitious program. Do you want to talk just a little bit about...
Yeah, like, in a way, I mean, it's such a tough choice to have a carte blanche and basically do whatever you like. So the possibilities are really limitless. I really always try to keep my interests as wide as possible in general for any programs. The great Rubinstein said, you know, program has to be like a great menu. You might like steak a lot, but you don't want to eat that for the whole menu. So I try, of course, to have a common thread throughout my programs in general, but to be really as varied as a program can get. So when I was given the opportunity to create a longer program from scratch, I couldn't possibly stick to one composer or a few composers. I mean, I tried to span, you know, really across the board. Now, how it came about to choose the works and the composers, it's quite a complicated story. Well, as you said, you know, there was some influence from the themes of the festival, and that's why the French and Spanish component. Another influence was Bach, which I recently recorded a CD of transcriptions, and so I've lived with Bach now for the last couple of years quite intensively. Also, I grew up on Bach. It's the first music I was lucky to listen to. And originally, I loved so much his organ music, I really wanted to be an organist and not a pianist. That was how it all started. My parents are not musicians, and they got me an electric keyboard when I was 7 years old for Christmas as a present. And then I was just fascinated with Bach. And I studied music at the same time as my elder brother, who's 3 years older. We used to read Bach's organ fugues and share the parts, and that was really our game. Then we would go out and play football. but it didn't last too long. So really, there's this love for Bach. And no matter how far I stray from Bach, always something brings me back, even in form of, you know, romantic piano transcriptions.
The repertoire on part one of Alessio's program includes two transcriptions by the Russian pianist and composer Alexander Zeloty, including a transcription of the famous Air on a G-String from Bach's Third Orchestral Suite.
To me, it's so fascinating because when we think of piano transcriptions, usually you think of a virtuoso pianist transcribing a very popular piece just to show off technique or imagination or whatnot. For Bach, it's a bit different. There's a bit of that, of course, but things are different because most composers had so much respect for Bach's music that they were kind of careful when transcribing it. And someone like Zeloty goes to great length to retain the original concept of the works. So I really think that Bach transcriptions are very different from other transcriptions. I saw when I chose the repertoire, there were two main trends. Some composers try to really retain as much of the original as possible. You know, it's some even transcribing direct parts, part by part, everything. And usually that happened in work compositions that were for larger ensemble. as ensembles, like, you know, the air on the G string or the concerto in F minor.
Another selection on the program is Alessio Bax's own transcription of the Largo from Bach's Keyboard Concerto in F minor.
Never pretend to be a composer, nor even a transcriber, but that happened because I really loved this piece, and every transcription I found was very pianistic light. And what I really liked in the movement was the juxtaposition of the beautiful melody in the keyboard and the pizzicatos in the strings. So the transcriptions I found had different chords, or the staccatos were more pianistic, and so I really tried to transcribe it as purely as possible to try to recreate that effect. The other trend is composers like Odowsky and Busoni. They actually took a piece from an instrument with a more limited range than the piano, like the violin, the chaconne, or the G minor sonata, and offered their own interpretation on the piece.
Part one of the program concludes with Ferruccio Busoni's transcription of the famous chaconne from Bach's Partita No. 2 in D minor for solo violin.
No, I mean, Bach's music is so much bigger than the notes written. And Brahms himself was so in awe of the chaconne, for example, that he wrote in a letter to Clara that it was inconceivable that somebody would write such an amazing piece on a small instrument with one stave and work that in, you know, 14, 15 minutes encompasses all the human emotions. He even went on to say that if he could ever conceive work like that, or even imagine that one day he could write something like that, the sheer overflow of emotions would drive him insane. So there was this kind of reverence of Bach's music.
There's a clever continuity between the first and second parts of Alessio's recital program. Following the set of Bach transcriptions, the portion of the program dedicated to Italy begins with the Baroque composer Alessandro Marcello's Oboe Concerto, transcribed for keyboard by none other than Johann Sebastian Bach.
The second part is dedicated to my home country of Italy. And, you know, for three parts, I wanted to start with the Baroque or Baroque-ish work and to tie things together. So, you know, Bach was probably not only one of the greatest composers, but was one of the greatest transcribers. He really did the same thing. And he took a piece that was very popular, I thought was beautiful, and transcribed it for keyboard. And in the process, he changed many things. He wrote down all the ornamentation in slow movement, for example, which to me give an incredible insight into his musical mind. He wouldn't write that in his own composition. So he re-harmonized some chords, and it really makes you wonder why he did that. And so I wanted to start the second part with probably one of the most famous oboe concerti, the Alessandro Marcello, but not too famous composer. I mean, we know Alessandro Marcello in Italy mainly for the oboe concerto, and mainly for the slow movement of the oboe concerto, which is quite beautiful. And I wonder if Bach was really captivated by that slow movement, because even harmonically, it's incredibly interesting. Harmonically, it's in D minor, and it doesn't really cadence in D minor until the real end of the piece. It gets you very close and then takes very wild turns all the time, and it was really probably a way for the composer to keep the line suspended, the beautiful melodic line suspending, which really reminds me of the largo of the F minor concerto as well. Of course, it worked in Germany, but it really had these ears open to all the different styles.
Right.
You can think of maybe of some later in history, composers like Liszt, who actually lived everywhere and was the first probably European musician that they couldn't really spot, you know, was Hungarian, but spoke French, lived in Italy and Germany, everywhere else, and wrote in a variety of styles.
The Hungarian pianist and composer Franz Liszt was one of the defining figures of the Romantic era. He was the most acclaimed piano virtuoso of his generation, and his greatest contribution may lie in his development of piano technique through his performance and pedagogy, as well as in his compositions for piano. The program includes two works by Liszt, composed during his time in Italy.
Later in his life, he really became a very religious man, and he had gone to Italy before that for many reasons, mostly women. And then he went back to Italy for more spiritual reasons as well. The country was very dear to him. And I have to say that something that we lack, pianists lack, is Italian romantic repertoire. But there was no shortage of composers from different countries that were in love with Italy and used it as inspiration. And Liszt wrote a lot of Italian-inspired works. The first one would be the St. Francis of Assisi, The Sermon to the Birds, which actually I chose because it's quite an unusual work of Liszt. It's not highly romantic. It's very esoteric in many ways. It's even harmonically very ambiguous and strange. So the Sermon to the Birds, where, you know, he takes a excerpt from the Bible and sets it to music, and in an amazingly personal way.
The final part of the program brings together works by the Spanish composers Isaac Albéniz, the lesser-known Mateo Albéniz, Enrique Granados, and the French composer Maurice Ravel. Enrique Granados lived from 1867 to 1916. Alongside his contemporaries Isaac Albéniz and Manuel de Falla, Granados ranks among Spain's greatest composers, and his piano suite, Goyescas, is his best-known work. Composed in 1911, Goyescas is a collection of 7 pieces inspired by paintings of Francisco Goya. In the last part of his recital, Alessio will play 2 movements from Goyescas, La Maja y el Ruiseñor and El Amor y la Muerte.
I find Granados y Falla probably to be the 2 most important Spanish composers. He has something that is incredibly personal. You can never mix it up with other Spanish composers. The texture of the piano writing is very personal, and also the harmonic material and the melodic material is something that once you hear a couple of works, you know exactly what it is. Thank you.
The composer Maurice Ravel was born in 1875 in the Basque region of France, right along the Spanish border. Throughout his life, he always felt a close kinship with his Basque heritage. This emerges frequently in his music, which often betrays elements of the Spanish influence. The first of two works by Ravel featured on Alessio Bax's recital program is Alborada del Gracioso.
Yes, that's one of the, you can say, the Spanish works of Ravel. There's incredible rhythmic vitality that makes you really want to stand up and dance. It's really powerful work. And again, very strong rhythms. He plays with the rhythm, with the hemiolas. Has a middle section that really reminds me of flamenco. It's really probably one of the most Spanish works that is written. So I think that would, you know, thinking about Basque and Spanish Ravel, to me that's the first thing that comes to mind.
The program ends with one of Ravel's most famous works, La Valse.
La Valse is not much, but there is Basque in it. But it's again an amazing piece of work, a piece of music, not only for the beauty of it, but the whole historical context. He wrote it in the beginning of the 20th century when the people didn't even know what was going to happen, didn't know if the world was coming to an end. Was right around the First World War. And I can even start to imagine what, you know, people, up to that point, they felt pretty secure. And that really was going to change things. So there's, again, another highly descriptive work, and a ballet, originally, which never became a ballet because it was judged as undanceable. If from the Aguilar, so there's no way we can dance this way, it's too wild. And it's true. I mean, he starts the piece describing clouds and glimpses of couples dancing the waltz just one by one, then clouds take over, so it's very turbulent. And then when things become a little bit clear, Ravel writes down that a beautiful golden 19th century Viennese salon opens up and there are hundreds of couples dancing the waltz. Then the waltz becomes faster and faster, more and more wild, almost morbid in a certain way. The harmonies becomes harsher, the waltz becomes more hurried and intoxicated in many ways, and the end is very tragic. It's a really powerful work. I think it's one of the most powerful piano works that Ravel wrote.